I want you to know why you should believe what you believe. What does the Word of God really teach? So, I hope you come out tonight. We're going to have a good time. Concerning next Lord's Day, one of my favorite preachers is going to be here, Brother Tom Taylor. Now, there are some cards back there. They won't be of much value after next week, after next Lord's Day and the following days. But our Brother Tom is going to take up the great text of salvation. He's a theologian, and he got a great mind and a great sense of humor. And he can communicate the gospel. Give these out to your friends and your enemies, too, if you have any, and make sure that we have a good response. And we're going to have a preacher's breakfast, a breakfast for men, preachers in particular, on Tuesday morning at Shoney's at 8 o'clock. And if any of you men are free and would like to join us, we'd love to have you. We're going to discuss a subject that's very important, spiritual discouragement among preachers. That's going to be the subject discussed at the breakfast at Shoney's Tuesday morning. This morning we're in Matthew chapter 7, and we're reading two verses. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Where we read, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now let us pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to give spiritual help and illumination, that we may glean from this portion of your word that which will stir our hearts and cause us to ask ourselves the question, have I entered by the door? Am I on the narrow road? Deliver each one, we pray thee, O God, from the broad road that leads to destruction. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount is indeed a great sermon, and our Lord is drawing this great sermon to a close. And our Lord, in the portion that is before us and all the way to the end of chapter 7, he is stressing upon his listeners the importance of practicing and implementing that which he has taught them in their lives. The 7th chapter of Matthew has a common theme. And that common theme is judgment, for all is moving toward judgment. That's where everything in the whole world is moving toward, and everybody in the world is moving toward judgment. And the object of this sermon is to bring the Christian to realize, first of all, his nature, for he told us that in the Beatitudes back in chapter 5, and then his character as a person, because these are the things which characterize a child of God. This is what you expect from a believer. And how do we manifest that nature and character in our daily life? Our Lord had a purpose when he came to earth. Our Lord's purpose in coming to earth was to found and to establish a kingdom, a new kingdom. It is the kingdom of heaven. The purpose of our Lord Jesus is to call out a people unto himself that is entirely different from anything else in the world. Anything else that has ever been known. It is called the kingdom of God. It is called the kingdom of light. It is called the kingdom of heaven. It is unique. It is separate. And our Lord gives a description of the kingdom in these chapters. Now, in these chapters, we have, first of all, a general portrait of the Christian in the Beatitudes. And he follows, because a Christian is this way, he should know how the world is going to react to him. And the world reacts to a believer. And after our Lord does that, he now comes with practical application and the outworking of it all. And therefore, in chapter 6, he deals with our giving, He deals with our praying. He deals with the things that we desire. He deals with every phase of the believer's life. He contrasts his people with the religious leaders of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he warns us about their ways and that the ways of a child of God are different than theirs. And then he deals in chapter 7 with our attitude toward others in judgment. Now, there, he says, is a character of the kingdom that I have come to establish, that I am forming. This is a type of life that I'm giving you to live. He's speaking to his people. I want you to live it, and I want you to enjoy it, is what he's saying. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's the passage that is before us this morning. And to us, he says, enter in at the straight gate. And then he tells us why we should. Because wide is a gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. We're dealing with a contrast between the many who are on the broad road that leads to destruction and the few that enter in by the straight gate. Now it is application of the sermon. The Sermon on the Mount is not a sermon that's to be commended. When you hear people say, I just love the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was not given to be commended. The Sermon on the Mount was given to be obeyed. There's no use saying nice things about it if you don't obey it. And our Lord is drawing it to a close. And then he gives us a test of fruit. And finally, he gives a test of the storms of life. When the storms of life hit the little bark of our soul, do we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll? Enter ye in at the straight gate. We want to deal with this portion this morning. There are two roads. There are only two roads through life. There is the straight gate and the narrow way that leads to life eternal. And there's the broad road that leads to destruction. There are many lanes on the broad road. Many lanes. You can be walking the clean footpath of the broad road, but it still leads to destruction, friends. You can lead the dirty lane on the broad road of the gutter, but it still leads to destruction. There are many on the broad road, but those who heard the sermon of the Lord, he said, enter in at the straight gate. I want to deal first of all this morning with the narrowness of life. I'm talking about entering life. Our Lord commands us, enter in at the straight gate. Both the gate and the way are narrow. The gate is straight, it's narrow. But the way is also narrow. The command is to enter. Now there is another gate. It's a lot easier to get in. There is another way. The gate's wide, the way is broad. And there are many who have entered there. In contrast to the few that enter in by the straight gate. Nevertheless, we are commanded to enter in. Have I obeyed the command of the Lord? Now the way of this, of entering this life, is a narrow one. And we have to stress this point. It is a narrow one. And we have to stress this point today from the standpoint of evangelism. Worldly wisdom today and carnal motives have entered into evangelism, and there is no longer a straight gate, and there is no longer a narrow way. But our God has not changed. The Word of God has not changed, and the Word of God is still. If you're going to come my way, the Lord Jesus said, the gate is straight, and the way is narrow, regardless of what an evangelist says. And we need to stress this. You see, we're living in a day when there is no difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. They live the same way. They go to the same places. They do the same things. But our Lord says there is a difference. He says, enter in at the straight gate. And the way after you've entered in is narrow. And we need to stress this in evangelism. Our Lord is a good evangelist, friends. He told the truth. And don't let religion put us an easy sugar coating to the message of the gospel. For the message of the gospel plows deep into the very soul of a person. And it enters into every phase of your life. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great preacher, he says, somehow, we have a way of thinking with our minds and never letting the truth get into our hearts. We use the upper part of our heads and we never let it sink into our hearts. And here's a message today, friends, that must get into the heart. For today, you're either on the broad road that's leading to destruction, or you have entered in by the narrow way, and the only door into the narrow way is Jesus Christ. You either have entered in through Him, or you are on the broad road, and you're headed for destruction. And since you and I are living in a day when there's no difference between the Christian and the non-Christian in the thinking of many, and there are those who say, oh, the gospel of Christ is so loving, it would never invite anybody through a straight gate and a narrow way. You can't be puritanical in your thinking. I'll tell you something. There wasn't anything wrong with the Puritans. There wasn't anything wrong with them. Our Lord said the gate is straight. And He said the way is narrow. But then there's a second thing that we need to stress this morning. In order to understand this passage, I think we need to stress the things that do not pass through the straight gate. So we know exactly what our Lord says. Number one, you can't go through the straight gate and carry your worldliness with you. They don't go through. When you go through the gate, you have to leave the crowd behind. You have to leave the way of the world. They're on the other road. Have you entered? You see, becoming a Christian is something different. It is something unusual. And the Christian life is not popular. You can't take the crowd with you. It calls for a break. It calls for a break with the world, friends. Our Lord cries out to men, enter in at the straight gate. And you and I have to realize from the very start that the things that are part of this depraved and wicked world and the things that are enjoyed by the natural man and by the fallen nature are left behind outside. The gate is straight. The second thing that we leave outside is a love of self and a pleasing of self. This is hard for the natural man to realize. This is a doctrine of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He demands that we bow the knee to His Lordship, for He is Lord of all. There's no room for two men to go through the gate at one time. That life of sin, that indulged in all the satisfying of self, is left on the outside. And that's what the Word of God speaks about when it says that we have crucified the old man with his affections and his lusts. The gate is straight, and the way is narrow. And even after we're saved, we're exhorted, as Paul does in the Colossian epistle and in the Ephesian epistle, to put off the old man. For you see, even after we've entered through the gate, that old man may cling to us. But we're commanded to put him off. Self must be crucified. And then we come. Our Lord says, you don't know all that I'm going to put my fingers on in your life, but if you want me, this is what is demanded. I'm Lord, not you. Enter in at the straight gate. But then it is called a straight gate and a narrow way because it's a difficult way. That's why it's called straight and narrow. It is difficult. The Christian way of life is difficult. It is not easy. It is glorious and wonderful, but it is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. The Christian life means living like Christ himself. And to live like our Lord lived is not easy. You see, the standard is difficult. Thank God for it. It's a poor kind of a person who only wants that which is easy, and he shrinks from that which is difficult. And our Lord didn't come painting rosy pictures. He said, if you follow me, it's going to carry you to death. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And whenever in old Roman times you saw a man going down the street carrying his cross, you knew he wasn't coming back. Our Lord says, are you willing to come? This is the only way to life. There isn't any other way. There are only two roads. The one road leads to destruction and the other road leads to life. It's difficult. You see, if you only want what's easy, you're a poor person. Challenges is what life is made up of. We have such an overdose of the ordinary today. I remember a preacher friend in Pennsylvania. He was a Lutheran preacher, and he bought a Chevrolet car. And the driver, and he was a finicky sort of a person. Everything had to be just right. And there was nothing wrong with that. And he had the car back 7 times because every time he opened the door to get in, it went, and every time he closed, it went, it just screeched a bit. And finally, when he got back, he took it back about the 8th time. You see, everybody says, oh, well, that's common. The service manager told him, you know, that's a common sound for a Chevrolet door. Oh, he said, then the other door's wrong. He said, would you please fix the other door that it also doesn't? We're so ready to accept the ordinary. The Christian life is not ordinary, friends. You can't live it without Christ. And to have Christ, you have to enter in by the door. And the door is straight, and the way is narrow. And the door is straight and narrow because it involves suffering. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, look at it. You have your Bible open to Matthew 7, just turn back 2 chapters. In verse 11 and 12, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, this is a Christian life, friends. This is a Christian life. I remember when I was a young teenager, I'd just gotten out of school. You say, well, you weren't too young anymore. You were getting up there in your teens. Well, I was 17. And I'll never forget walking into Johnson's Ice Cream Parlor and a few of the fellows that I knew in high school. They publicly ridiculed me because I was a child of God. And I let it be known by the love. That's suffering, friends. I wanted to climb under the table. But now I'm glad that I wasn't ashamed. I maybe was ashamed, but I'm glad that it happened. The Christian life is straight, it's narrow. Why? It involves suffering. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to his son Timothy, he said, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, we don't like persecution. In that happy passage in Romans chapter 8, where it speaks of our adoption as sons and children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Christ, in verse 17, it says, "And if we're children of God, then we are heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we should also be glorified together." And then you have that happy verse, verse 18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let me say something about the straight way. The narrow or the broad road, it has a wide gate, and it's a broad road, and many are on it, and it leads to destruction. And the further you get on the road, the more narrow it gets. The straight gate is awfully narrow. You can't carry the world with you. It's awfully narrow. And you come one at a time. You can't take anybody else. You either come by yourself or you don't come. No one else can come for you. You come by yourself. You can't hang on to mother's or dad's coattail and come through. You come on your own. It's narrow. But the further you get on the road, the wider it gets. And it widens out till you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ himself. You see, that's when you really have the world. Are you on it? Are you on the narrow road? You see, there are only two ways. One way is the kingdom of God. The other way leads to destruction. And the ways are marked. On the one, you have a big sign, many. It's popular. On the other side, few. Now, I want to say something about the gate that goes in. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the gate. He is the door. The scripture says, and the Lord Jesus was the speaker. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." There is only one way in. It is through Jesus Christ. We are living in a day when people know a lot about the door. They can describe the door. They might be able to describe the hinges and everything else, but they're still on the outside. We may know everything about Christ. We may know the facts about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. But if you have not entered into the door, and to enter into the door means that you have been invited by Christ and you have come to him and received that great salvation which he purchased for you there on the cross. You see, when we talk about the narrow way and the straight gate, it's like talking about the Ark of Noah. The Ark of Noah was the only way to be preserved from judgment in those days. Every living creature on the earth drowned. The Ark was the only place of safety. And there was only one way into the Ark. It was through the door, and the door was in the side of the ark. It was through the door. And the ark spelled safety to everyone that was in it. And there's only one way onto the broad road, onto the narrow way. It is through the straight gate. And our Lord says, come. That's what he said to Noah in Genesis 7. He says, come. He was already in. And he says, Noah, come. And Noah came. And Noah's family came. And they were saved through judgment. This seventh chapter of Matthew ends with judgment. The storms of life are going to beat upon that bark, your soul. There's only one place of safety. It is in Christ. Now the multitude on the outside of the ark perished. Only those who were in the ark were safe. And you know, friends, only those who have entered through Christ and who are designated in the New Testament as in Christ are safe. Are you in? You know, preaching the gospel week after week, I often wonder about those who hear. I wonder if they're really in. And as I wonder if they're really in, you know, we're nice to one another. And in our being nice to one another, it does nothing but exalts your pride many times. Everybody thinks I'm saved. And I'm too proud to own my sinnerhood. What will other people say? What will other people think? Well, the moment you come up to the broad road, or to the straight gate, and the narrow way to enter in, you have to own up to the fact that you're lost, and you're a sinner, and only Christ can save. There isn't any other way. There are only two ways. You're either on the narrow way, having entered in by the straight gate, or you're on the broad way with a crowd. That leads to destruction. Where are you? In your pride, you may say, I don't know what other people will think. That's what a preacher told me one day as we were coming back from a funeral. When I asked him when he was saved, and he had to admit that he never was, he said, what am I going to tell my wife? What are other people going to think? I said, you want to go to hell because of what other people think? You see, friends, too many of us have seen too many movies. And you know, in the movies, everything comes out all right in the end. You know how stories go. And we all know that judgment is coming. Our Lord is very clear in this. And we're like a person in a burning building. We know that there's a fire escape out there. Somehow we think I can get on the fire escape anytime I want. Let me tell you, the Word of God teaches just the opposite. Our Lord said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. That's very clear. We don't come to Christ any time we want. We come when He draws. And somehow or another, we have an idea that there's a fire escape out there, so we keep picking up our religious trinkets. And we play religion. And all our hands are full of religious trinkets. As we go around and we gather this one, and we gather that one, and we gather another one. And then the room begins to get full of smoke, and we, I think it's about time to get out of this building. I think I'm going to go to the fire escape. And you go to the fire escape, and lo, the fire escape is on fire. And in your consternation, you drop your trinkets. You can't go through the gate with them. You can't carry them and go through the gate. You leave them on the outside. And you cry out, oh, Lord, save me. I perish. There's no other way. You see, there are only two roads. There are three or four. There are only two. The majority is on the broad road. And friends, they're going down to destruction. Have you entered by the straight gate? You can be filled with pride. You may know the right answers for the right people. You may know about the door, but have you entered the door? That's what our Lord is commanding. Enter in. It's only entering that a person is saved. Have you entered? I'll tell you something. This week I was really shook up when that plane crashed. And my heart goes out to that family. The families. I don't know what they thought, these men, as they knew that plane was going down. I tried to think of what condition their mind was. They didn't have much time to think, did they? That's why God's word says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Today. Our Lord says enter in at the straight gate. We can kid ourselves, friends, with our prideful religious activities. But there's a day coming when the storm is going to break. And if you're not in the ark, you're on the outside, and you perish. What shall it profit a man if he gains a whole world and he lose his own soul? Where do you stand? Have you entered in? This is the most important question you face. Are you in? Are you out? Are you on the broad road that leads to destruction? Or are you on the narrow road that leads to life? Let's stand together for the benediction. Our Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day came in his life when he said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. For no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and he to whomsoever he hath revealed him. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you this morning to reveal yourself in power to any who may be on the broad road and have not entered in by the straight gate and the narrow way. Reveal yourself to them. And thy dear Son, as the only means of escaping the perishing destruction of the wicked. Upon thine own that have truly believed on thee, give them a sense of the greatness and the glory that awaits those who are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And upon any who may be outside, accompany them with divine restlessness. May they know neither peace nor rest until they rest in thee. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.